We are in the book of Acts, chapter 1 this morning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." At the chapel service this morning down at the Presbyterian Homes, this woman came up to me after the service and she says, "I think Ascension Sunday is probably one of her favorite times we set aside." She says it really is a feel good time because it's pleasant, it's uplifting, all the things. And I agree with her because we always minor on the major, but you know, you take some. I love Palm Sunday. I think Palm Sunday is one of the most pleasant Sundays the church can celebrate. And a lot of the smaller, I call them holidays, but are some, the Episcopalians call it feast days. But I think that we have to look at this from the standpoint, yes, there is something positive about today. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in human history. Nothing else could compare with it. 40 days of earthly ministry fulfilled Christ's stay with his followers. The early portions of this passage in the book of Acts, spoken by Christ, encouraged his apostles to move forward even beyond the historical region of Palestine. This would be a giant step for the apostles in their new endeavor as evangelists of the gospel. And you know, most of us are usually reluctant to adapt new ideas, concepts, or strategies readily. As you heard me say before, change is a four-letter word for most of us because we are creatures of habit. And I am no different than anybody else. It takes a while for us to get used to things. And look at the apostles here. They had to get used to being leaderless for a while because their leader had ascended into heaven. And so change must sometimes come gradually for us to accept it. And there's really nothing wrong with change. It's how you go about doing it which counts everything. Hollywood film producer at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Irving Thalberg was quoted in 1927 as saying, "Talking pictures are just a passing fad, as is color photography in movies." Mr. Thalberg wasn't usually wrong, but in this case, I think he missed the mark, don't you, by a long shot. The departure of Christ to heaven signified a new beginning for the apostles and fellow believers. They were to keep calm and carry on because the Holy Spirit would soon empower them to maximize their potential in proclaiming the mission of Christ. See, Pentecost was coming in 10 days. So they were having to prepare and be ready for it. The apostles had plenty of questions, but a curious one which continues to be asking, I get that question all the time. It's not been lately, but I do get it. When will Christ's return take place? Now, we all wonder about it at times, But Christ told them they're not to be concerned about such matters. It's all in God's care and timing. Our focus should be on sharing the unconditional love that Christ offers us. What if you did look down at your wristwatch all the time? You might trip and fall if you're not careful, or keep looking up in the sky. We are to continue God's work. We're not to speculate. We're not to turn such things second coming into a Ouija board or fortune telling. That's not what our job is to do. Leave that to God. And through faith, we can believe that the return is coming. A friend of mine who is involved in a Bible study in Miami told me recently that his teacher advocates a certain view on the second coming, which is contrary to the class majority. Well, of course, there's two sides to every story, but there were concerns relating to their teacher's interpretation. And interpretation is exactly what it is. You see, each of us may interpret a passage of Scripture maybe a little different than another, but it's the Holy Spirit telling us for our spiritual needs at the moment. But I told him not to despair. You know, the official title for all this is eschatology. We learned that in seminary. And eschatology always has been debated for 2,000 years. But it is peripheral. It's not essential for fellowship or communion in the body of Christ. Such disagreements can lead to fragmentation of any church or Bible study group. It sidetracks the mission of Jesus Christ. If you were to know all the different views of that, you know, and I'm going to share this, there's the pre-tribulation, there's the premillennial pre-tribulation, there's the premillennial mid-tribulation, and the premillennial post-tribulation. Then you had the amillennial, and then you had the post-millennial. Now, post-millennial was real popular until World War I because it said through missions and evangelism and social action, the world would become Christian entirely. Of course, we know a couple of world wars changed that a little bit, but it would improve the world substantially. Well, my interpretation on it is I am a post-millennialist because the world's getting better and better because I'm in it. Yeah. But flippancy has no place in the pulpit today. But seriously, don't get strung up on this. Just believe out of faith in Christ and that Christ will return. It may be in our lifetime, it may not be. But leave that into God's hands. As I said, it sidetracks the mission of Jesus Christ. And the squabbling does nothing to promote God's great commission to the world. Well, Christ was launched into orbit as we recognize it now as the ascension. And what a spectacular scene it must have been. It defied gravity even prior to its discovery by Sir Isaac Newton. There must have been a lot of jaw-dropping while staring into the sky at this marvelous event. Suddenly there occurred the appearance of two angels who ordered those onlookers to stop gazing into the stratosphere and get along with. You know, angels are rarely ever mentioned in the church except on the 25th of December. Have you ever noticed that? We get our manger scenes out, our angels and all that, but after the 25th, we put them back on the shelf. But you know, prior to the Age of Enlightenment, angels were a very common subject to be preached about. If you ever see any of the old organs in Europe that were done before the 18th century or something, they've got little angels on top of them. So angels were quite a common subject back, say, 300-400 years ago. But due to reasoning and rationalization and all that, we've kind of let that slip to the background. In the Greek and Hebrew, they're identified as messengers of God. You heard me mention Corrie ten Boom of Holland, the Dutch Christian who was imprisoned by the Nazis for sheltering Jews during World War II. She wrote that she had occasional encounters with angels who protected her. She said she could offer no other explanation. One time, you probably have heard this, one time she was in a concentration camp. She was in a line with about 1,000 women. They were stripped of their clothes to be deloused. Her sister, Betsy, was in front of her and another woman in the back of her. She had a Bible tied with a string around her neck, a small one. And she knew she had to say a prayer real quick. She said, God, protect your word. Because that Bible would have been taken away from her. Do you know Betsy, her sister, was deloused, strip searched and everything and went on? The woman behind Corey was done the same way. They didn't even see Corey. She got to walk all the way through with that Bible. Now, some people say, was that luck or was that coincidental? I think we see that there was a protection there, much more than we give credit for, supernatural protection. The other time Corey said she had angelic presence was at Moscow International Airport in the 60s, you know, when the communists were in power in the Soviet Union. And she had a suitcase of Bibles she was smuggling into Russia with gospel tracts and everything. She was there at the airport. They were checking all suitcases, tearing them open a lot of times, and she knew for sure that her suitcase, her red suitcase, was going to get opened. And she didn't know she could get shot for it or arrested or whatever. So she prayed about it, and she said suddenly she looked down, and it looked like cellophane, but she saw these arms around that suitcase. That's how she described it. They didn't even open her suitcase. Hers was the only one they didn't touch. And suddenly, this was a big suitcase. She had two pieces of luggage, and one of them was those Bibles. And this big shop commissar, communist, came up to her in a uniform, and he said, "Ma'am, may I carry your suitcase to your taxi? It looks like it's very heavy." So here was a communist official carrying a suitcase full of Bibles to a car. If that's not a miracle in itself, I don't know what it is. But Corey said, till her dying day, that those two stories about angels were obviously true. I even have one myself, and I've always questioned it. I have never been able to actually, I've tried to reason it out. You know how we are. We try to make things like, you know, really, could it have been or could it not have been? And, you know, I'm going to let you all be the jury on this. When I was about 10 years old, an uncle of mine sent me to a local, you know, those little mom-and-pop grocery stores, which are now convenience stores, but back in those days, they were run by families. And you can tell this was a few years back because he sent me to buy him a pack of cigarettes, and I was 10 years old. Camels, by the way. And so, anyway, I went, but I decided I was going to go the long way around. Being a 10-year-old, I thought I'd do a little Daniel Boone exploring. Well, I went down this street, which was very heavily, had a lot of traffic. And all of a sudden, a pack of dogs came out from behind this house. There were about seven. Well, being a 10-year-old and short legs, you know, I was not going to be able to escape those dogs. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my right shoulder. And I looked up, and there was a young man about 25 years old. He said, "Now, don't worry." He said, I'll help you. I'll protect you." And I can still see him to this day. He was wearing a checked, maybe a red flannel shirt, had short hair and blue jeans. And we walked. Those dogs came out. He said, "Don't worry. They're not going to touch you." We walked all the way down about four blocks to this grocery store. And as I was getting ready to open the door, I turned around to thank him, and there was nobody standing there. Now, am I losing it? Or did I have hallucinations and all that? I don't know. But all I can say is I never saw that man before, nor have I ever seen him again. But if he were to walk through those double doors, I would recognize him. So sometimes we're not for sure when supernatural things, maybe some people call it baloney, some people not, but I know what I saw, and I wouldn't make it. I kept this story hidden for years because I was afraid people would buy me a straitjacket and take me off somewhere. So you know what? Always remember that God is still the God of the supernatural, and I'm not talking about hocus pocus. I'm talking about the power of God behind that. So on this Ascension Sunday, it is a reminder that God is still at work in the church, which makes the impossible possible. Perhaps if the contemporary church believed more in that supernatural power of God, the church would possibly be the recipient of phenomenal events as happened in the book of Acts. We don't see it much in North America or Europe, but if you go to a third world country, the church is 220 voltage. Brazil, where I was, it's unbelievable. Africa, Asia, wherever it is, it's because the church is establishing itself. And it has these signs and wonders that's found in the book of Acts. Why don't we have it? Well, maybe we probably think we're too sophisticated for that. I don't know. Now, if something were to happen right now, it'd probably scare us all to death, including me, because we're not used to phenomenon like that. But it was happening in the book of Acts. It was happening daily within the church there. So we believe that the gospel does and still impacts our world through God's Spirit. There is such power available beyond ourselves with the promise and hope for things that would indeed be possible if left to itself. Looking for a jaw-dropping event? Just believe out of F-A-I-T-H, faith, and that will be a jaw-dropping event enough. Stepping out on the floor in the morning from your bed, that's a miracle in itself. It's the little things that we need to look for. Yeah, sometimes you might have a big event happen, but most of the times we're going to have mediocre little things, but we give credit to God for that. So don't neglect thanking God daily for all the things that God provides for you, and you never know about the protection God provides when you're out and about or even in your own home. Give thanks always. Because on this Ascension Sunday, as we saw the early disciples there, they didn't know what to do, but they were in awe and praise for what happened. Remember that, that we are no different than they. Shall we pray? Oh God, today on this Sunday we call Ascension, we can have Ascension every day. We look for you, O Lord, everywhere we go. May we grow in the faith that you have given us. May we grow too, O Lord, in our relationship to you and in our relationship to those around us. Help us to be, O Lord, the servant and disciple that you would have us to be. Through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.